Hi, I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, one of Canada's f***ing guys.
I got to edit all of this before we send it in.
Oh, no. F***ing leave it for them.
Oh.
You're editors, you can f***ing do this.
This wrecks my coronation.
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it.
These babies just saved this lame fest party.
You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Don, but I'm joined with
Mr. Christopher
and Alex. Ow, kitty.
That's right. We are coming to you semi-live in your brain, in your, as Kevin Smith might say, your ear pussies. That's right. We're here to deliver to you the news, the weird, our thoughts, opinions, and occasionally, I don't know, dating profiles. I don't know.
Dating
Alex,
profiles?
Ladies, he's single.
I'm what? What?
What?
What's happening here?
Exactly. Just smile and nod.
We're trying to whore you out.
Oh, that's okay. No, what happened was I had a kitty cat on top of me that I was having the mic around, and kitty cat decided to jump off of me and smack into the mic.
Good job, Wiley. We
love
you,
Wiley.
So anyway, yes, guys, we are here for yet another week of debauchery and stupidity, and of course, we typically go through what we've been up to over the last little while. As you heard off the top of the show, that was me doing a award presentation for my old college, Niagara, for their broadcasting program.
It wasn't live, so don't worry.
Yeah, it wasn't live. I wasn't like, woo, go get them, mister.
Oh, it's worse.
Yeah, we had a couple of outtakes there, and... they had to convince me, Mike, don't say fuck all the time. You can't do that. But in the email that the college sent me from the producers, they're like, just be yourself.
It's yes, like, but it's been over 10 years since you graduated. Nobody there necessarily knows what yourself is.
Yeah, that's true. Be like, and the award goes to this motherfucker. Go get him.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Cock shit balls, lick my dick. Goodbye. Congrats, motherfuckers.
Screw like, you guys. I'm going home.
It would have been great. I probably would have said, like, all right, the award goes to this motherfucker, nope. And guarantee it. They would have been like, Mike, get off the stage. No
the
problem.
The award goes to Cocklick McGee.
But no, seriously, it was a fantastic honor to be asked by the college to do it. Sometimes they ask me every couple years. Last year, I couldn't, obviously, with the dying. And this year, I was in a really good mental space. So I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it. And they accommodated my needs to do it via video. So Alex was very kind, was my videographer, producer, director.
Indeed, because I have a good camera.
You did, and you, we had the most professional tripod, aka like 15 PlayStation 4 games.
And a couple, I think the last thing on top was an Aquaman Blu-ray.
Yeah. So.
And it got to the right level to face you right on.
So thank you, Warner Brothers and PlayStation, for that. What have you guys been up to? Because I know, Tristan, I haven't really seen you a lot over the last couple weeks.
No, I've been working a lot of late night shifts and doing the old retail slog. My spare time has been mostly getting ready for the review of Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which has been kicking the absolute crap out of me. It is a challenging game that is hard for the sake of hard, but that's what From Software does best. Other than that, if I'm not playing Sekiro, a lot of it's just spending time playing some old staples of mine, World of Warcraft and Super Smash Brothers. I'm trying to practice my Super Smash Brothers because my 10-year-old nephew is getting really good at the game and I have to keep him humble.
Man, you realize we've had this game for months, and you and I have not once faced off yet.
That's right. We should have a showdown at some point.
I guess I got to get practicing, because I main Mega Man, primarily, because it's me. It's, of course, it's fucking Mega Man. I'm trying to remember who else. And Samus.
Okay,
those are my two
okay.
Main. So I've got one mid-tier and one low-tier character. I don't play, but then it depends on who, whatever.
I don't really know the tiers. I'm not paying much attention to the metagame of everything, but a couple of my mains are Zero Suit Samus and Lucina.
Interesting picks.
Yeah, they're very different from each other, but let us know in... give us a feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Let us know who you play in Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to see what the variety is up there, or you can find us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net as well. And Alex, what have you been doing? You got fucking Kleenex stuck up your nose.
I like turtles. I don't know much about Smash. No, I had the flu about 3 weeks ago.
Then
I
still have it.
Wait, I was good for a week. And then I got a nasty head cold when I was visiting family for a birthday party. And then it cleared up, and I wasn't coughing anymore, really. And now I have the runny nose from hell, and I don't know why. So I have gone full like, shoving all the Kleenex I can up my nose.
It's pretty comical, I have to say. It looks pretty
funny.
Hey,
it helps. It helps a lot.
Otherwise, I've been there. I've stuffed toilet paper and Kleenex and whatever else up my nose just to try to stop the flow before.
You know what I've never tried? I've always been curious, because I've heard people say it.
Q-tips don't work.
No. Tampons. To stop.
Oh, I have.
Okay. I know that's good for bloody nose. Okay.
Yeah,
I've
always wanted to try that.
No,
just
stop. Okay, I did it for a bloody nose one time. The problem with that...
It turns to gel, doesn't it?
It's hard to pull out. It comes apart if you don't pull it out right. And you do not want to be the guy that has to go to the hospital because he got a tampon stuck in his nose.
And to be clear, you want to make sure you're using a new tampon before you shove it up
your nose.
Oh,
my God.
No, I didn't go into, like, the women's washroom and, like, pick it out of that.
No. For the love of Christ, though.
The picture is painted. The picture is quite painted.
Oh, my God.
No, but I did have the displeasure. Well, it was kind of funny to walk up to a woman in the office back in the day when I was working.
Where could this story be going?
I've got a bloody nose. I'd be like, the men's room's out of toilet paper, and she just goes, 1 minute. She goes into the women's washroom, comes out with two tampons, and she goes, here you go. And I was like, you know what?
If it works.
It's the right size.
And did you have to use the applicator?
I sat back at my desk, and I had two little strings sticking out. And I remember the CEO of the company walked by, and he's just like, bloody nose again, Alex? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, okay. And he just walked right by, and he's just like, okay. And I was like, oh, this is the most brilliant thing on the planet. And then the stares I got from everybody else, and I was like, what?
It's a new fashion trend.
What? Hey, man, if it works. And
somebody just looked at me, and he's like, what? What's that? I'm like, super absorbent.
Good times.
It is. That's what it's for.
Yeah, if it works.
So, yeah, that's one of the other times I've shoved random things up my nose to stop bleeding.
Other than Cheetos.
Oh, Cheetos is a fashion statement. That's a panty dropper right there.
It truly is. So coming up on the show this week, we have a lot of new stuff to cover. A few things. A Star Wars celebration happened this past weekend in Chicago. We have the Star Wars Episode 9 trailer, The Rise of Skywalker. We have Jedi Fallen Order has been given a release date and a full trailer. Disney Plus just gave their announcement this past week, so we'll talk about that during the news. Got some other pretty weird news stories. What do we have for review this week?
This week, we have a couple things. We have the fight control pad from Wired for the Switch. Sorry, I'm not saying that right. It's the PDP Switch fight control pad that's for Smash Brothers. I have one. Birdman has one. It'll be coming out at a later date with his review, because he's going to be reviewing basically the fighting aspect, the Smash aspect. I reviewed it as a general purpose controller. It's basically a it's a Remap Pro, but it's a GameCube shaped and styled controller where you can actually take off the thumbsticks and put on C sticks if you want to. So it's kind of neat. The other review we've got here is MLB The Show 2019 from Sony.
Yep, and my final review will be Warner Brothers to tie into Shazam. I will be reviewing the Aquaman movie on Blu-ray, because I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So you'll hear that review later on in the show. And that's pretty much what we got for you this week. So stay tuned, stay locked right here on thisweekingeek.net. And we'll be back right after our review of MLB The Show from Sony Computer Entertainment.
At the end of last month, Sony was gracious enough to send me a copy of MLB The Show 19 for review. Now, This is going to be a little bit of a different review because I'm going to assume that most people reviewing it are like hardcore sports game fans. I am somebody who, you know, has played a lot of sports games in the past, and I'm sort of a casual sports game fan in that I'm not a hardcore plays it every year. I'm like a comeback every 5 years to play them kind of guy. So I wanted to give it a bit of a different perspective. You're going to have like a lot of reviewers out there are going to talk about all the, you know, the new features that are in the game, and I'll talk a little bit about them in that there's basically everything that was in the previous games up until now. They've taken, tweaked, improved, added more without it feeling like there was any major, you know, like there's not a huge major overhaul that you're going to have to, you know, figure out how to play differently. It's just more intuitive. You know, an example of this is they've improved the AI dramatically in that when you're playing, the better you play, the harder it is. What do I mean by that? Well, the AI actually learns from how good you're doing. So if you're somebody like me who hasn't played in a long time and you suck at the very beginning, you can actually, you know, have the difficulty will go down and allow me to do better so that I can learn and get better. And the better I get, then it will slowly ramp up the difficulty, which is pretty cool because it's something that we would have wanted for a very long time in games, but it's always been sort of a very steep learning curve, or it's very, you know, very tiered levels like easy, medium, hard. This is more like it's grading it on a curve in that the better you get, the harder it is. And if later on in the game you start sucking a whole lot, then it will, you know, scale back a little bit for you as you're playing. There's your standard career modes, and every mode that's been in the past has been there and it's been overhauled. The big thing that they've added is a lot more customizations on baseball bats, like flames and stuff. It's a very pretty game. Graphically, it's probably one of the best looking sports games I've ever seen. And that's probably due to it being an exclusive on the PlayStation platform. So they're able to focus on making it look the best on one particular platform. I am playing it on a PS4 Pro, you know, in 4K, but not in with HDR on, because that just makes the PlayStation, or my particular one, because it's a launch one, it makes it go, ooh, like a rocket's taking off. And my TV isn't, you know, one of the best that has HDR. It's just basic HDR stuff on there. So I like playing it in 4K with HDR off, and it looks stunning. And the characters are, you know, they've passed the uncanny valley. They're looking more and more realistic every day. And just the smoothness of the graphics and the reflections and everything is just fantastic. How does it actually play and control, though? Audio-wise, it is fantastic. It has great spatial and sound audio design in that, it, you know, playing in 5.1, I can hear everything all around me. It's very, very dynamic. And you can have settings you can set for home theater, headphones, your standard stuff, and it does make a big difference if you're putting headphones on to put it on to a stereo mode. As far as the actual gameplay mechanics, somebody who hasn't played, I haven't played since the show was on the PS3. So coming into it here, I found that the controls were actually a lot better. I was able to jump in, play right away, and I didn't feel like I had a whole lot I had to learn. I didn't have to go through a whole lot of tutorials to get going, which is fantastic. And there's, you know, there's a whole lot of other things. There's collectibles in the game. They can collect signatures and cards and play in different legacy modes, play against people like Babe Ruth, which is all really, really cool. And you're going to hear that from a lot of other reviewers. What I want to talk about is actually something that I like to play very casually, which is they have a retro mode. And what does it do? It simplifies all the controls and lets you play sort of like, what if you took a Super Nintendo or Genesis and then gave it the graphics of now? That's sort of the feel for it. You know, you one button pitches, hitting simple, you press one button to steal bases. Very simple, very easy to play and actually just go for, you know, 15, 20 minutes and you don't have to worry about anything. There's great career modes in the main game and everything, but I found myself more often than not, you know, when I'm tired at the end of the day, turning it on and playing in the retro mode and just using that as my go-to for everything. And I'm probably going to be doing that for a long time. And I almost feel like this is their way of curtailing the competition, because if you're not playing a baseball game on PlayStation, you're basically playing the RBI baseball game, which, you know, in itself is a very simplistic game. The graphics are kind of crap on that, but realistically, this is sort of there to combat that, and I can tell, and it actually does it a whole lot better. So you could pay $40 for the RBI game, which is on other platforms, or if you've got, especially if you've got a PlayStation, get this game, because at $80, basically double the price, you get easily 10 times the value. So even if you're somebody, let's say, doesn't have a PlayStation 4, this, to me, if you're a huge baseball fan, could be a system seller for you. because it's no better time to get it. You can get a, you know, pick up a Slam or pick up a Pro. Either way, you're going to have a good time with it. And I can see this being my go-to game for quite some time as far as, you know, playing for 15, 20 minutes, something quick and easy, something that I can feel I'm accomplishing something in rather than just playing a fighting game or something. It's actually pretty fun, and it's constantly being updated. It is something that, you know, I can see myself getting back into sports titles and playing it a lot more often. So, you know, is it worth it to somebody who only plays RPGs? Well, no, not unless maybe it is. I'm going to actually go back and change my mind here, because there are aspects of the game that have a very RPG-like aesthetic. There's actually, in some of the modes, you can actually, you know, level up, in a sense, your character. And there's boards you have to conquer with challenges, and it looks like a grid, and you slowly move across the grid. You can choose which ones to do to move forward, that then go to hit other milestones and then beat a game. So it's almost like a tactical grid you can go through, similar to like the sphere grid or something on a Final Fantasy game. So it has a bit of everything, a little bit RPG, a little bit sim, a little bit, you know, hardcore baseball game with all the rules. There's being a manager, there's tons of things there. Then there's the casual side where it can compete with something very simple that, you know, a little kid could pick up and play, which is, by little kid, I mean me. So I'm going to say it's definitely worth picking up if you are a baseball fan, if you are a PlayStation fan, and especially if you love exclusives, and if you love sports games. And it may even be something, you know, maybe check out a video or two on YouTube of the gameplay and see if you're maybe not usually into buying these kinds of games. This might be something for you.
Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march!
Welcome back to Twig, your flagship of stupidity. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Mr. Schuster and Alex the producer. And of course, it is here to bring you the news, such as it is on planet Earth this week. What stupidity happened? Well, you'll have to stay tuned to find out. But this past weekend in Chicago was Star Wars Celebration, with the long-awaited trailer for Star Wars Episode 9, Untitled. Nope, not anymore. That is known as The Rise of Skywalker.
Whatever that means.
Whatever the fuck that means, with creepy Emperor Palpatine laugh. If you haven't seen the trailer, well, you've had the weekend.
And Lando.
And Lando, looking really old.
Real Lando. Well, he is really old. He's in his 80s.
Oh, my God.
I love the clip that's out there of Ian McDiarmid coming out on stage and going, "Roll it again." In full Palpatine voice in the cheering of the crowd.
I'm waiting for him to, like, in the movie, rip his mask off and be Jar Jar.
It's going to be interesting to see how this wraps up the saga. They say the movie's going to be going on a hiatus following Episode 9 with J.J. Abrams again behind the camera for this. I'm okay with some of the things that have been said about this movie. They say they're going to retcon Rey's parentage, which makes sense because Kylo's an asshole. Like, we're going to believe him.
I really don't think it counts as a retcon. Like, I can see where you're coming from by saying retcon, but at the same time, they never really revealed her parentage. They just said, oh, well, they're no one. They're no one. But that's just Kylo talking out of his ass, trying to convince Rey to come over to his side.
Yeah, he's just fucking
with her. It means nothing. He's a bad guy. He's wrong.
Yeah, so, I mean, the trailer itself, I'm going to be honest, feedback at thisweekingeek.net, I was kind of underwhelmed by it. I mean, it was cool, but
I'm hesitant with... I really dislike J.J. Abrams now. Everything he touches...
Because of Force Awakens? Or?
Everything he touches turns to shit since Star Trek. He's somebody who can only do remakes, and then lies about doing remakes, and then after he's lied about doing a remake, he then touches something and goes, let's do what we did 30 years ago in a movie, and then just add lens flares. And then his two cronies, Kurtzman and Ortsy, every TV show they produce starts out strong and turns into shit when they get control of it. So as long as they're not attached to this, they're fine. They're the guys that did the fucking Transformers movie that was the Knights of the Round Table one.
Yo, oh, Transformers okay. Last Night, or The Last Night.
Fucking, basically, he's a scourge on everything. Like, it's like, oh, Super 8. Super 8's just Stand By Me. Like
with monsters.
Yeah, like, he doesn't have any original ideas for anything he does. And he's lazy.
Did he do Cloverfield?
I think he produced it, but he's just fucking lazy. And I get the feeling like his idea of making a film is, it looks good, so it's good enough. His movies look good, but they really don't have substance.
I'm curious to see how you wrap up 40 years of story with one movie. And I guess the new... what do you call this? The post-trilogy?
This would be the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, this is the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, like what even the through line is other than just Rey. That's the real...
The whole thing is the Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of Skywalker in this sequel trilogy. Yes, Kylo Ren's a Skywalker. Yes, Luke is in them, but they're not central characters. I mean, okay, you could argue...
Yeah, Kylo's, 5 and 15 minutes.
Kylo is fairly central to the story. It's Rey and Kylo's journey through these movies. But... They say they're going to tie everything together with this movie here.
Yeah.
So there's 8 movies of content to try to wrap up all in one time. I'm kind of worried, is this going to end up diluted? Is it going to end up all over the place and scattered?
He's not very good at continuity in his films.
No, like I'm kind of curious because when I heard the Palpatine laugh and you hear Luke say no one's ever truly gone... I guess they're going to kind of borrow from the Star Wars expanded universe where they cloned Emperor Palpatine and the war and the world devastators.
I'm hoping it's not a clone situation. I'm hoping it's more of a Sith Force ghost, which is also part of expanded universe where they tie themselves to certain places or certain objects. So it's like, not quite a full Force ghost like Yoda or such, but they can still
like
haunt
Sith holocrons.
Well, we've talked earlier before we were on air about how I would think it'd be cool. If Luke isn't actually dead, and like he is spent all this time on that freaking planet, where he's now figured out not only how to turn into a ghost or energy, but how to rematerialize,
like how to bring himself back.
Like he's literally not dead. Like all the other Jedi's that turned into Force ghosts did it at a time of need, and they had no other way out. They hadn't finished the studying. He went to the planet, finished the studying that Yoda didn't do, and he's like, and the reason he threw the lightsaber away. Was he doesn't fucking need it because he is energy. He is the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And he can come back whenever he wants. You know, it's not going to fix everything. It opens up a whole new can of worms. But if he does that, then is the argument that Palpatine came back as well.
To cheat death is a power that only one
has done, whatever, Darth Plagueis or whatever.
But together, if we work together, I know we can unlock the secret. But maybe the secret is more a broad spectrum of the Force and... Mm-hmm. There, Darth Plagueis found out that, okay, well, we need to use something from the light side of the Force as well as the dark side in order to actually transcend mortality. So maybe Luke figured out the entire puzzle and Luke has actually become this immortal
being.
See,
that would be cool. I would be down for that. I just don't want it. I don't want it to be lame. At the same point, I don't see how Finn and Poe Dameron will fit into all this.
Here's the thing. If Ewoks show up, I'm fucking done. Because then he's just doing another fucking remake.
There'll be porgs, guaranteed. So there, or something cute.
There's a shot of the wreckage of a Death Star, which is confusing because both Death Stars blew up in a rather dramatic fashion. But that's going to be the big retcon is, oh, well, there's pieces of the Death Star. But there's a shot in the trailer. We don't know if it's Endor.
It better not be.
We don't know if it's Endor because it's a very... kind of plains and cliffs and water everywhere. So I think it's Yavin.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. In the Star Wars Expanded Universe, they did build prototype Death Stars. They built them at an installation known as the Maw, which is surrounded by black holes, which is near Kessel. And they prototyped the Death Star superstructure, which was just the laser and the shell, not all the inside facilities. So if they wanted to pull from the EU, I could see it. But we'll have to wait and see. Other Star Wars news that came out this weekend is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order comes out November 15th from EA and Respawn. That's a fuck of a lot sooner than I thought.
Now, Respawn, who are they again?
They developed Titanfall.
Apex Legends.
Okay, so they're not the terrible team that did Battlefront.
No. Though Battlefront, when that's a discussion for a different day.
So are they fine? So they're giving Respawn another chance because of how well Apex did?
Well, probably that and Titanfall. They know what they're doing.
Titanfall though, Titanfall 2 didn't make as much as they thought. They thought they were going to cancel the entire studio.
Yeah.
And Apex came out of nowhere, and they're like, hey, these guys can make games. This is good.
It's because it's a single-player-focused game, and I guess this comes out of the remnants of Star Wars 1313, which was a canceled Star Wars project from years ago.
And there was also that really mature-rated one they were working on,
Yeah, that's the one that I'm talking about.
Is that the one? Because there was a second title they were working on, I thought.
I don't know.
There were like three or four that were in production before they got canceled.
And now that Disney has 20th Century Fox, they're reopening LucasArts. So we're going to see more Star Wars games, hopefully done better. Because I remember the original Xbox had tons of them.
Oh, yeah.
Then the last really good one I really, really liked was Republic Commando. And the movie adaptation of Revenge of the Sith is surprisingly fun.
And the original Battlefront 2.
Yes. The sequel, like I said, it's got its problems, but it is fun now they've taken all the microtransaction bullshit out of it.
It still has some bullshit in it, but it's not as bad.
Yeah.
It's not as money-grabbing. It's just kind of bullshitty and some of its
the game design. The progression's slow.
I had it as part of that EA Access-y thing.
Yeah.
Hated it. I tried it like when I got my Xbox One X.
I like the story.
I started playing it and I was like, this is kind of boring. Like, I never thought I'd say that because I love the first two games, like the original two.
Mm-hmm.
And this new one doesn't quite hold up. It's not as fast, I think, is what it was. Like, I was used to it moving really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And this just seemed plodding.
Were you playing the multiplayer or the single player?
Multiplayer.
Play the single player campaign. It's really good. I like it anyway. So that does it for our Star Wars news. Moving on to the rest of the news that happened this past week. Smallville star Allison Mack is going to jail. She has pled guilty to allegations she manipulated women into becoming sex slaves for the NXIVM spiritual leader Keith Raniere. She wept as she admitted her crimes and apologized for a motorcycle that always seems to go by when I'm talking.
It's a beautiful day in Ontario, Canada, and the motorcycles come out in droves.
That's true. Who prosecutors say they were exploited by Raniere and this NX cult. Prior to her appearance in court, Mack was out on a $5 million bond and under house arrest. So what she would do is she would convince these women to come into this, basically this cult, to become sex slaves. Many of these women were branded with him and Mack's initials in their pelvic regions. I'm actually going to show
the
group.
Yeah, I saw the brand. I don't actually see the initials in it. It just looks like some sort of arcane rune.
Yeah, it looks like triangles.
It sounds like something out of a bondage porno. Like, it sounds like a plot that you wouldn't think could actually exist.
It's so weird. Evidently, they were expected to have sex with their master and do any and all menial chores they were ordered to do.
You thought Scientology was weird.
They weren't to tell anybody about the arrangement and risk public humiliation if they ever revealed the details to any party.
I love how she's crying now that she's caught.
Well, yeah. I mean, she spoke out in court and she says, I believe Keith Raniere's intentions were to help people and I was wrong.
No, have you seen her do interviews before when she was in that group?
Oh yeah,
it was like a self wellness group. She looked like those people that were brainwashed by like Heaven's Gate.
Oh yeah, like it was.
But at the same time, she didn't look like she was completely brainwashed. She looked like she was in control enough that it's clear she was second in command.
Yeah, like it's not going to end well for her. Like, it's one of those things where she's going to end up going to jail for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And ultimately, you deserve it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
you fucked up.
Yeah, you done fucked up.
You really, really, really fucked up.
Too bad, because you were hot, and now I think you're disgusting.
It's unfortunate. So Chloe Sullivan, go in the jail. So in less depressing news, though, you can take this any way you want, though this one, the sources are a little sketchy. But supposedly an anonymous millionaire wants to set up a battle royale on a private island. He wants a unnamed person with a significant amount of wealth is planning to set up a real-life 100-person battle royale event. And if my webpage would stop fucking crashing, I can read you the rest of the story.
There now, an important detail is that it's not actually killing anybody.
It's like airsoft.
Airsoft and touch-sensitive equipment to say when you're actually getting tagged.
I've seen this movie. It's called The Most Dangerous Game.
It stars Ice Cube, was it?
Well, that's that one, yeah. Also, if I'm going to go with that, I would prefer Hard Target.
Yes.
With Lance Henriksen hunting down Van Damme, but that's just me.
So, according to this, Hush Hush, which styles itself as the world's leading luxury shopping place, which is led out of a back alley in London, England, I think. It looks terrible. Has received a request from an anonymous person who's looking for a game maker who can help organize the three-day event. The last person standing will win £100,000 prize.
So they're also looking for 250,000 Canadian.
They're also looking for a game maker who will make up to £1,500 daily, with the contract set to pay out £45,000.
Good grief.
Yeah.
I'd do it. I'd play it.
I have a feeling that once you finally get there, you'd find out it's international waters and they will fucking kill you.
They'll tell you it's airsoft guns, but then you pull the trigger and somebody dies.
Oh, they're airsoft guns, but they've been modified to like go to 10 times the PSI when they fire.
Or the bolts are coated in arsenic. They want 3 days of play for 12 hours apiece. Players have to camp out in the wilderness overnight. But they will be provided camping and food supplies, whatever. I'm surprised someone hasn't done this as a game show already.
It might actually be a game show. This is like a weird sort of weird viral marketing call. Campaign.
Yeah. I mean, they said they wanted to make it an annual event once they get it organized. So it could end up being something that gets aired on TV. And I'd watch that for sure.
I mean, can you imagine if Epic Games really put money behind this and got like Universal or Paramount? Like, let's make Fortnite the TV show.
Without the building.
Stone Cold Steve Austin has been on TV tomorrow. Maybe he's going to host this.
Yeah, like, you get someone really famous and hardcore. If you put Stone Cold next to Ninja and Courage from the, like, yeah, and Bear Grylls, and, like, have JD from the COD scene do color commentary.
I want the Jackass people to be I want the Wild Boys there.
You could have celebrities participate in this, and this could be Steve-O, legitimately good TV.
Steve-O on an entire island where people are shooting at him, where he's only wearing a loincloth.
Or imagine this: even if you did this as a pay-per-view event, people would still buy it.
People would pay $100. Well, I'd pay $100 if they actually killed each other. But that's
this is not the Running Man.
Hardcore television, snuff films.
Well, we already live in a dystopian cyberpunk hellscape anyway. We're only one step away.
If we're going to do it, if they're going to actually kill each other, Richard Dawson has to come back from the grave so he can host it. Just like the Running Man.
We'll have Cadre Cola. It'll be great. My God, I miss the Running Man. That movie, I hope they never remake that.
Because I'm going to reach in there and rip out your goddamn spine.
Stick around and he stabs the guy in the back with a contract. Department of Justice, Entertainment Division. But still, I think that would be pretty cool if they could get this to work. And speaking of Battle Royales, I got another story here. Now, last week, Prince Harry from the UK said Fortnite should be banned. Well, the country's actually kind of gone through with that, but a different Battle Royale game. So PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is now banned in Nepal due to addiction concerns.
Which is okay, because nobody plays it anymore. So
yeah, no. It's like a very nowhere near as big as Fortnite or Apex.
If you had said this 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Fortnite and all of its, I don't want to say clones, but all the Battle Royale genre, I don't think it's really the problem necessarily. It's the systems based around the games that kind of feed into the addiction problem. Mm. It has to do with instant gratification and the loop of I want to get a reward after doing something. That little rush of dopamine that you get for unlocking that chest or opening that loot crate or bashing that llama pinata. That's the core of the addiction loop. So I can kind of see where they're coming from with it being a concern, but I don't think banning the game is the right course of action.
So according to the Kathmandu Post, Nepal's Metropolitan Crime Division filed a public interest litigation with the Kathmandu District Court on Wednesday requesting that PUBG be banned by the Nepal Telecommunication Authority and has demanded that all internet and mobile service providers block the game. A police superintendent, or senior superintendent, rather, of the Nepal police, had said anyone caught playing the game will be arrested. The ban went into effect last week.
Wow.
Speaking with Reuters, the Nepal Telecommunication Authority deputy director had said, "We have ordered the ban on PUBG because it is addictive to children and teenagers." He cited fears of increased aggression in PUBG players, said that Nepal authorities have consulted psychiatrists and witnessed, quote, shocking incidents in other countries. While no incidents of this nature seem to have occurred in Nepal because of PUBG, he also said authorities have decided to ban the game before anything unfortunate occurs in Nepal.
You know what? I might... Hmm. Isn't Nepal one of those countries that has been contesting stuff with China for a long time?
Yeah.
Doesn't Tencent have a big interest as far as money-wise in PUBG and a lot of these games?
I know they have a 40% stake in Fortnite.
I'm wondering if this is a subtle way for... because they've always been rebelling against the Chinese government. I'm wondering if this is a way to them call out China without officially calling out China so they don't get any backlash.
Yeah, make a... try to avoid the obvious political statement while still kind
of... because I'm pretty sure this is one of those situations like Taiwan. If you ask China, Taiwan is part of China. But if you ask the Taiwanese, they're like, we're not part of China.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those sorts of things. That wouldn't surprise me, because it seems rather odd that one country has determined it. And it's not like countries that actually have addiction issues. Mm-hmm. They don't have any, but they're still banning it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it's a ploy to see what China will do. Because in China, they're sponsoring a lot of these Battle Royale games.
Which, I don't know, it's so weird for them to single out the Battle Royale genre as causing all these problems.
I think it's just because it's what's currently the hottest thing.
I guess before ago, it was FPS.
No, it was MMOs. WoW was banned in parts of China and places.
Like gold farming.
Because people used to leave their kids at home and go down and play in the cafes, and their kids would die.
Or people would die playing. Yeah,
like, yeah, because they wouldn't eat for 36 hours. They would sit there and then, like, hold in their craps and then...
yeah, they wouldn't stand up for a week at a time. And then they'd end up standing up because they were finished or whatever. And then they'd have an embolism and die.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, because it's
just... and you play these. And you
play I don't play them for 36 to 20. It's like 72 hours
he
at a time.
He also goes and makes potty occasionally.
Yeah, I stand up, I make food, I go to the bathroom.
There you
go,
you yell, bathroom, bathroom. Somebody brings you a bucket.
Mom,
bathroom. Ooh, what a big boy.
I love that episode.
Yeah. Make love, not Warcraft. It's hard to believe that is like 13 years old.
Yeah.
That episode aired like the same year that Warcraft came out.
Yeah, Warcraft came out originally in 2004. So that's quite some time.
Wow, I can't believe it's been that long.
Oh, yeah.
So those are some of the stories that happened around the world this week. As always, we do welcome your participation in the show. You can email us stories, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Typically, we take a look at the emails on Saturdays. Just if you have any news to share with us, you can also contact us on Twitter at thisweekingeek or listen to the end of the show for all of our social media. So we're going to throw things over to the weird news that happened around the world this week. And we will be right back right here on thisweekingeek.net, otherwise known as Twig, your flagship of stupidity.
The other day, PDP Gaming sent over a package that contained two controllers, and I'm going to be reviewing one of the two with Birdman's review of his coming at a later time. Now, what are they? They're the Wired Fight Pad Pros for the Nintendo Switch. They're designed to look and feel and play like the original GameCube controllers were. Now, one big difference between these and GameCube controllers are the shoulder buttons aren't those, you know, analog buttons that were on the GameCube, because the Switch only has digital inputs, so it's not going to include, you know, pressure sensitivity. But that actually works in this controller's favor, in that the buttons are really responsive and easier to use. The actual layout, other than that, is pretty much identical to a GameCube controller, save for the extra buttons that are required on the Switch, like the screenshot button, the home button, you know, your plus and minus. The biggest feature with this controller is that the analog sticks, you can pop off the top and replace either one of them with an included C button that looks like a C stick. So it, as far as I could tell, controls exactly the way it's supposed to. And I didn't find any issues with it. In fact, I found it to be quite responsive because it is a wired controller that comes with a 10-foot cable. Now, I am, interestingly enough, not somebody playing Smash, but I actually had my roommate play a bit of Smash with it, and he said he thought it was... At first, he thought it was a first-party controller. That's the kind of quality that was included with it. And then I went and played a bunch of other games with it, and I could see it being my secondary controller to my Switch Pro controller, like the official one, for a lot of different games, especially if I'm playing retro games or, you know, things that are arcadey style. I do like the feel. The build quality is really good. I ended up getting the Luigi controller, and the green is really good. The emblem feels great on the front cover of it, on the front of the actual controller. And the only thing that I would have wished that it would have come with is some compartment or some spot to save the extra piece, because you have the two thumbsticks and then the C button, and if you leave the C button on, then you have a thumbstick that, you know, you have a little bag you can put it in, but it basically forces you to put it back in the box and leave that little extra piece there so you don't lose it. So it would have been cool if it could snap onto something else in the controller, but, you know, at about $25 retail price point, you can't really go wrong with it. It does seem to play everything, and now just because it is a third-party controller, it's not going to wake your system up. It's the same as, it registers as a third-party Pro controller, so it doesn't have the features that the official Nintendo controllers do to wake up the system from sleep mode. So that's the only thing that's a downside, but that's across the board for every controller that's a wired controller. They don't have that ability, or at least not in the current firmware. It might be something that comes in the future from Nintendo's end. So I've been playing with it for probably about 50 hours or so off and on in the last week or two of just, oh, maybe not 50, but, you know, upper end of 30 to 40 hours of play, just, you know, playing around with it and seeing if I could, you know, wiggling the controllers and that to see if I could break it in and see if there's going to be any issues or if it was going to have any buttons that stick. No, the D-pad feels good. The analog sticks are responsive and they feel right. The layout of the A, B, X, and Y buttons feel good. And everything feels top-notch and pretty much like a first-party controller would feel. There's a bit of a heft to it. It's a heavy-duty plastic, so it's actually pretty good that way. You know, for me, it's great. And as far as on the competitive scene or something on the fighting end scene of, you know, playing with it with its initial intent, which is with Smash Brothers, that's going to come from Birdman. He's going to be doing another review of this at a later date, probably in a week or so, to cover the end of it as far as the fighting end. Because for me, as a general purpose controller, it's absolutely perfect. So you're going to want to check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes to the PDP website for it. It's about $25 American, you know, give or take a little more Canadian for that when it releases here. And they come in, you know, a few different controller types. There's Mario and Link that were already out. Now we have Luigi and Princess Peach, which Birdman wanted. So he'll be able to talk about that at a later date. So until then, I would say it's definitely worth it as an extra controller, or if you want to have, you know, a fight dedicated controller that makes you remember what it was like to play on the GameCube.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Welcome back to Twig, your flagship of stupidity, and of course, it's now time for the weird news, the fucked up things that happened around planet Earth this week. And what happened? Well, one of the first things we did is we launched an old man out of a fighter jet.
Not us personally.
Yeah, well, I would have.
Despite my best efforts.
No reason.
Did it play the goofy, you know, yahoo?
So, allegedly, or this actually happened. So a civilian was reportedly injured late last month after his ride-along with the French Air Force took an unexpected turn. The man's ejection seat somehow fired, sending him soaring into the sky. The French temporarily grounded their fleet of fighter jets pending an investigation.
Oh, so they want to see if it's a software malfunction or not.
Yeah, this twin-seat fighter sometimes takes civilians on observation flights, including government officials, members of the media, and celebrities.
That's pretty standard, yeah.
So this twin, I can't pronounce the name of this fighter, whatever, but a 64-year-old man.
Mister just a few minutes ago saying how great he was at French and speaking other languages.
Not me. He's the fucking pro. I'm told I have an ear for
My teacher says I have an ear for other languages.
Yeah, just but I can't pronounce shit.
I was going to say, just not a mouth.
Yeah, just not a mouth for it. I can understand things.
All right. I'll buy it.
As the jet was taking off, the man's ejection seat sequence was somehow triggered, sending him through the canopy. The pilot whose hands suffered minor cuts from the broken canopy and managed to land the aircraft safely.
Oh, fuck, he went through the glass?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right through the canopy.
The civilian,
on the other hand, apparently parachuted to the runway below, injuring his back in the process. He was taken to the hospital for injuries, where a spokesperson for the French Air Force said his health is not cause for concern. You just lost an old man to a fighter jet's canopy.
Oh, could you imagine if this was in the States where they're very litigious?
Oh, yeah. I'll sue! I swear to fucking Christ!
Oh,
I bet he did it himself.
I was gonna say no, but you would if that malfunction or whatever. If it was neglect or issues, you would deserve a lot of money from that.
Oh yeah, but I'll bet in the heat of the moment he just held on to something for dear life and pulled the ejection seat because it's usually this is from the article. It's usually between the legs.
Yeah.
Just for easy access, but not accidental access. And he probably just kind of grabbed onto something and just kind of held on and pulled.
Like he was in a go-kart and tried to pull the brake?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something where just some sort of reflex or involuntary action, just he pulled the ejection seat and it launched him. I don't think software really has much to do with it because it's kind of a hardware-based function.
Well, or it could be electrical, it could be some wiring was wrong.
Yeah.
It could be they hit turbulence, wiring went fucky, and it got a short, and boom.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he went through the canopy, my understanding, and I'm not a pilot, I don't know anything really about it, but my understanding is canopy goes first, then you eject through.
Yeah.
So something went wrong, the canopy didn't deploy.
Yeah, those bolts blow, the canopy blows so you don't break your neck.
So it could have been a true malfunction where the chair blew and it didn't trigger the canopy. The
ejection sequence properly.
Can you imagine being the pilot and just the absolute wind going by your face?
He gets hit with his, he's like, oh, fuck, or merde, I lost a guy. Well, my cheese, she stinks. She stinks. Tabernak. You know, whatever. And then just full on. Oh, sorry, it's not Quebecois.
Zut.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, it's the Parisian French.
Just talking that through that fucking fighter glass. Oh, zoot, sir. Lost an old fucking name.
What do you mean the mask? He was probably up there with a wheel of cheese and a long cigarette, and he's like, oh, no.
Oh, no, my beret is going to fly off of my head.
We have lost another one.
Like, we're terrible. Please don't hate us French people.
Anyone from France, I'm very sorry.
You know what? Our Quebecois friends are loving us right now for saying all this.
It's true. We love you. So our next story comes to us from Britain. So, sometimes, and most often, theaters play trailers before movies. It's just, that's the way things have always been. However, every so often, mistakes are made. This particular mistake is, in my opinion, fucking hilarious. So, two upcoming horror movies, Ma and Brightburn, are not meant for little kids. That much is obvious. So, a reporter from the BBC recently took her new kids to see Peppa Pig Festival of Fun. Right? Good time. Good time.
Eats Pooh Burgers?
With a name like Festival of Fun, I mean, it's got to be fun.
Peppa Pig and Spider-Man play bedtime and blah, 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 all those stupid YouTube videos.
Oh, yes,
the whole, what was it
Peppa
called?
Peppa Pig Gate?
Some sort of gate thing. Elsa Gate.
Yeah, Elsa Gate.
So what happened is this reporter took her kids there, and these two trailers played before the movie. I tried to cover her eyes during the trailers and told her they were silly films from mummies and daddies. But there were lots of kids crying, and she was very confused and started crying, too. The theater, which is the Empire Cinema in the British town of Ipswich, says, "We do sincerely apologize for this and any distress caused, and we'll be reviewing our internal procedures to ascertain how this came to be," a theater manager told the BBC. Now, we were talking about this yesterday, me and Alex.
Yeah, here's my theory. So, I had a friend who was a projectionist for years, and it used to be you had to splice in the reels yourself with the trailers. And you were a lot of times they had freedom to do what they want, but let's say like Disney would give them something, they'd be like, you have to only show Disney trailers, and here's the ones you can show, or Hollywood Pictures or anything else they owned, or you wouldn't necessarily throw a Marvel,
Warner Brothers film in front of a Sony movie.
Yeah, or like Batman wouldn't have a trailer before a Marvel movie. Unless it was IMAX, and they were both IMAX, then IMAX does whatever they want. because they're like, they can show any trailer for any movie that's going to be playing in the IMAX format.
Fuck you, we're IMAX.
Basically, that was the attitude. Now, when they switched to digital, most of the time now, it's digital hard drives they put in, or for a while, they were getting mailed these things. Now they download them via like a satellite uplink or internet, and basically, you plug a solid-state drive in, like an SD card, but like a really fast, high-quality one. You plug that in, and then you pull the trailers from a playlist, and it's done through a digital projector. It's like basically a computer. That's why, boys and girls, most films look worse in theaters now than they used to compared to a high-quality 35mm film, because it's the difference between blowing something up optically, where it doesn't lose quality, or showing a 4K screen at like 100 feet. So that's beside the point. Generally, what happens now is you pull from a playlist. You pull in a bunch of trailers, and then it plays them first in sequence, and then automatically goes and plays the movie. I think somebody fucked up and got lazy, and they pulled from the R-rated trailer list and threw them in front of a kid's movie instead of pulling from the kid-friendly list.
Or someone who really wanted to have some fun.
Yeah, I doubt that it was probably somebody doing that, because that your job is done.
Yeah, if they find you.
Well, there's generally only one or two projectionists per theater now, so they kind of know who it is. Unless it was a mistake of the trailers were mislabeled improperly.
Yeah,
which is possible.
Which is possible, but it's probably an oversight thing where they're just like, oh, I'll pull from this folder. You pulled the folder in, not realizing what was in there.
Well, Ma doesn't sound like anything insidious, you know?
Even Brightburn doesn't say anything bad by itself.
It could be like a kid's movie about a bird or something.
But it would usually be packaged in such a way that it has the rating.
Yeah.
And I believe the Brightburn trailer is an R-rated trailer, like a Red Band.
Oh, wow.
So
those kids are going to be fucked up.
So, I mean, it's pretty brutal. Like, there's in the trailer, I've seen it multiple times, there's a girl pulling glass out of her eyeball and it doesn't cut away.
Jesus.
So there's that. There's, you know, people getting burned, people getting maimed and tortured. And
yeah, that'd be pretty scarring for
in the trailer.
Young kids.
And I'm thinking, like, the only way this happens is incompetence. So they're going to try to say, oh, it was a mistake. No. It's going to be a case of somebody either being overworked, so they ran from theater to theater to start up the process. It would depend. If this is a theater that only has, like, 3 or 4 screens, then it's probably something like full negligence.
Yeah, because, for example, I went to a movie theater and I wanted to go see, I think it was Deadpool 2 or something, and I caught the last 5 minutes of the My Little Pony movie. It was in the same theater. So I could see someone screwing that up by accident.
It can happen, but at this scale, that play 2 trailers that are wrong.
Yeah.
It makes me think that they pulled the wrong folder, they pulled the wrong playlist.
Yeah.
Because it's basically, it's a sequence of the thing. They just pull up. There's the movie sequencing software. They're like, play these trailers. It's like, here, play the sequence, which is the commercials. Pull in all the commercials. Pull in this. And it's basically like at home doing a VLC playlist.
Yeah.
And it plays them in sequence. And then it auto tells, it's like, this is a super widescreen movie. So then it'll close the blinds a little bit. It does it all automatically now.
That's cool.
Why you can have 1 or 2 projectionists for like 10 screens.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it used to be you had 3 or 4 or more. And they used to have to do their rounds. This is why movies play, and they'll be fucking up real bad, and you have to physically go get the usher because they're not up there checking anymore. They only check, you know, when the movie starts. They don't realize, like, oh shit, it's flipped backwards. We have the wrong aperture or something. It's a problem with the entire industry now. It's like, well, we got to raise money for the tickets, or we can't afford to have these people here. No, or you could lower the prices and get more people showing up.
Yeah, it comes back to the universal problem of we need more profits, therefore we need to cut wages, we need to cut our costs instead of focusing on increasing sales.
Like, this is a mistake that would not have happened in the 90s.
No.
Yeah, something would have started going wrong, and within seconds it would have been stopped.
Because somebody would have had to...
Been sitting in the booth.
They would have been sitting in the booth, splicing together the trailers onto that reel. And for the next 2 weeks while this movie plays, it only has the same trailers. This is a case where the people that would have shown up, let's say, for the showing before, probably wouldn't have had the same issue because they would have just pulled... They pull in the trailers they want and throw it for every single sequence now. So it's... As things have become easier, in quotes, it's also become easier to make mistakes.
So, now onto something a little bit more, well, arguably more horrifying.
I don't know about that. That was pretty horrifying.
Apes.
Planet of the Apes?
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the
Which
Apes.
One? Are you talking about the Tim Burton one? That's pretty horrifying.
That is. But this one is more akin to the remake, which came in a couple years ago with James Franco. So for the first time, scientists have used gene editing techniques to make monkey brains more human-like. The monkeys, I can't pronounce this, macaws.
They're called macaques.
Macaques, whatever, got smarter. They had superior memories to unaltered monkeys, according to a recently published research paper that's kicked off a fiery debate among ethicists about how far scientists should be able to take genetic experimentation. The team of Chinese scientists edited the human gene called MCPH1 into the monkeys. The new gene made the monkeys' brains develop along a more human-like timeline. The gene-hacked monkeys have better reaction time, enhanced short-term memories compared to their unaltered peers. But not everybody's on board. According to the University of Colorado geneticist James Sakila, the use of transgenetic monkeys to study human genes linked for brain evolution is a very risky road to take. It is a classic slippery slope issue and one that we can expect to reoccur as this type of research is pursued. Gene hacking monkeys. I don't know how I feel about this.
Gene Hackman monkeys.
That I am in full steam ahead. I don't know. I mean, if it could maybe help cure Alzheimer's or something, if there's a medical research.
How about no? Not do it on an animal that doesn't share diseases with us either. That's why we shouldn't be experimenting on pigs. We shouldn't be experimenting on apes.
Because you never know.
The argument is it's easier to do it on them because it would correlate to us.
Yeah, there's a stronger analog.
But that's the point. No.
All it takes is one psycho.
Yeah, or all it takes is nature to happen.
Yeah, like a random mutation. It gets out of the lab and then it's like, hey, guess what?
It's the Spanish super flu and now like a billion people die.
So it turns into 12 monkeys.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. What happens if they do it and it's like, oh, it's okay, we're doing it in Mumbai. And then a billion people die over one weekend.
Jesus.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's depending on the population. Like, if you're going to do this kind of research, do it in fucking Antarctica.
Yeah, where there's no risk of exposure.
Do it in places where if you had to burn the facility to the ground, completely burn it, you could do it. It wouldn't wreck the ecosystem, and then you could come back and rebuild again in the Arctic.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point.
Like
the fucking CDC's in the middle of Atlanta, for example.
Great, have fun.
And there's a major, you know, hub.
I could see not doing it in the North Pole because, you know, polar bears are motherfuckers. but like doing it like doing it way down in the South Pole, like isn't that the thing? The idea was they're, you know, as long as nobody comes and gets it, it'll freeze to death and everybody's fine. Or the idea is like do it somewhere where it's super duper fucking isolated and only expose people. Like if you're working on this, guess what? Those people that work on it should sign a contract saying they're not allowed to have kids or family while they're working there. Because you shouldn't be able to have contact with people where you could spread something. It should be single people or people that are willing to sign like a 5-year agreement. You have to live here for 5 years, 2 years after we finish the experiments, so that we can see if anything happens with you. We'll drop you food and supplies. You'll have satellite uplink for internet and everything. You can have contact that way, but you can't have physical contact for 2 years because for who knows how long something could incubate in them.
Well, you know what's weird, and I don't mean to sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, but considering the world that we live in and the political climate, the religious climate, you know, basically people are crazy, how do we not have a supervillain?
We do. Elon Musk.
Okay, well.
He's not necessarily super evil. Mark Cuban, maybe. He's too cool.
But yeah,
I'm pretty sure that Richard Branson one day is going to be like, oh, hey, everybody, by the way, I have a death ray. And it'd be like, what?
On Virgin Galactic.
It's like Virgin Galactic. What's this? Oh, it's the Virgin Solar. What's that? Well, it's a solar panel. It collects energy and then fires it like the hand of God or whatever. Like
the hammer of dawn of war.
Or you'll be sitting there. He'll be doing a demonstration. Somebody will be arguing with him about something. It'll be just like, just 1 second. Presses a button.
And then vaporizes?
No, and it's just like, what's that? And then it's just like an Akira where that little laser dot points. And then all the air starts moving up. And then... That's what's going to happen,
or
son.
Straight out of Kingsman. Everyone gets free Wi-Fi and free cell phone service as long as you buy this cell phone brand, and then it ends up being some sort of mind control device instead.
I'm honestly surprised. Isn't that what every phone built in Asia is like now?
Huawei.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, which actually, Huawei developed all the cell towers that we replaced in Canada, every single one for Rogers and Bell and Telus. The only ones that weren't were the Freedom Mobile, like the third party, like the smaller
like
companies.
And all that shit.
They now have to replace every single one of them because they had spyware installed, and that's at a countrywide level. That's crazy. That's what that whole conspiracy thing was with how we arrested the head of the company and were deporting her to the States, and they were arguing over blah, blah, blah. It actually arguably affected us more than it affected them in the States.
Like I said, I'm honestly surprised we don't have a legitimate supervillain. Like you can name terrorists like Saddam Hussein, well, Osama bin Laden.
Supervillain?
Yeah. Who's a supervillain right now?
Dick Cheney?
Because of Halliburton Energy and all that shit?
Anybody who runs that or people who run BP Oil? And I'm not like this crazy hippy-dippy, you know, I'm not one of those like, you know, Greenpeace environmental, you know, activists. I'm telling you, anybody that has that kind of money and has anybody that goes, we're going to destabilize a government for oil, that's a supervillain.
Yeah, and they would have like mercenaries.
Like, isn't that exactly like what the plot of one of the James Bond movies was with
Quantum of Solace?
Was it Zorin Industries or something?
Oh, A View to a Kill something. Yeah,
yeah. He wanted to control Silicon Valley, and then there was the one from the one of the ones with Jaws where it was the guy that was running a company and he had a spaceship and stuff. I don't know. It was the guy
Moonraker.
It was either Moonraker or Spy Who Loved Me. One of those two. Same idea. It's just a really rich guy that wants to control, you know, like the oil and stuff, or anybody that controls water. When you control natural resources, those are the people that you got to worry about.
Nestle.
Yeah. There's a supervillain.
Nestle is evil.
Even if their stuff is tasty, it's they're
creating a water crisis.
They're also the ones that wasn't it? They were trying to stop. They didn't care. If I'm wrong, don't crucify me. But it was Nestle or one of those companies that was purposely trying to stop
the privatization of rainwater.
No, they were trying to stop people from passing out condoms and sex education in Africa. Because they wanted more people to have AIDS, because the more people that died, they could take the land.
I've never heard that.
That one's new to me.
There was a big company. It was either Nestle or one of these really big companies that was directly involved with not wanting to stop AIDS because it would be beneficial.
Not going to lie, you kind of sound crazy.
I remember reading about it back in high school, and it wasn't a phony baloney story. I will double check it, and if I'm completely wrong, I'll correct myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm not 100% sure, but it's stuck out in my mind.
I could see a company being that evil. And that's strange to think. Like, we have this... As much as humanity has a capacity for great good and accomplishing wonderful things, we have wonderful examples of human beings like the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, you know, etc., right?
Well, even though some of those are terrible people.
It was the Nestle guy that said that water is not
a
right.
Dalai Lama was a bad guy?
Mother Teresa is a horrible person.
Yeah, oh, she was.
I was unaware of this.
Yeah,
I am wrong.
It's in the last couple of years it's been coming out more and more.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Basically, she didn't... They only sung her praises when it benefited her.
That's unfortunate.
There's still really wonderful examples of human beings.
And it's Terry Fox.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Terry Fox is an asshole.
He did good things, but he
was not a very good person. Seriously, these aren't great examples in hindsight.
Humanity has great capacity for good and for evil things. Like we have our own free will. You can say what you will about it, being it scientific or religious. I don't really care. But the fact is, people can be good and people can be bad. And there's examples of both.
Here's the thing. I think the guy that's the head of Nestle, if your official stance is water is not an essential human right,
then that's fucked.
You're a bad fucking person.
Yeah. And then he's been asked, what about air? And he said, can we make a profit?
There was another guy.
And that's what you say publicly and don't care?
Yeah, that's
how you know you
wrong.
Have power.
Next, yeah. We're space balls now.
Yeah. President Scroob. All right, so that's pretty much going to do it for our supervillain conspiracy talk this week, otherwise known as the Weird News. So we will be back right here on the show with Satan's Pantry with an official taking a look at, the official WWE cookbook from Inside Editions and my review of Aquaman from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Oh my God!
Dad, excuse me!
But WCW's own World Heavyweight Champion Hulk Hogan, he's got pasta mania.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Give the people what they want!
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net. And as you've noticed over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different cookbooks from Inside Editions. We've looked at Fallout. We've also looked at The Elder Scrolls. But today we're going to take things to the squared circle, where last time you heard on Turd or Treasure our opinions on Kofi Kingston for Kofi Mania, we are looking at the official WWE cookbook from Allison Robicelli with photography by John Dean. Today we're going to take things back to the era of the WWE. And I'm not alone in this tag team event. I am joined with...
Ooh, yeah.
That's right. We're going to be taking a look at Nacho Man Randy Savage. This particular recipe looks amazing. We have guacamole, we got sour cream, we got salsa, and we also have black olives. And the recipe originally called for Slim Jims, which we didn't have at the time of the recording. Plus, for dietary restrictions, I can't have a lot of pork products.
They give me heartburn. Like, yeah. I love Slim Jims, but they give me wicked heartburn.
Some of my friends used to send me Slim Jims up from the States, and they used to give me wicked heartburn, something awful, too. So my lovely wife, Blair, has prepared this. If you take a look at BirdmanDaughter, at This Week of Geek on Twitter, or our official Instagram post, you'll be able to take a look at what we are tasting today.
Yeah, the substitution basically is we moved in turkey pepperettes.
Yeah.
Which is a good substitute for it.
Yeah, it's a little bit more heart healthy and whatnot. So, and that's sort of the spice of life, is being able to substitute when you can.
Yep.
My wife has also included the homemade queso sauce, which the recipe also called for. So we're also using, what kind of chips are these, Blair?
Tostitos.
Restaurant style Tostitos. So nothing weird about them. No hint of lime or jalapeno or garlic or whatever. So without any further ado,
let's give it a cruncher.
Let's break it into the Nacho Man.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That queso's got a nice warmth and kick to it.
Like, I'm somebody who's used mostly to, like, the cheap store-bought queso, and this is a lot better. Significantly. And, I mean, I'm going to take a little dip in some sour cream and some guac and all that.
I love how I'm choking, and my wife takes my drink away from me.
Well, it's probably punishment for something.
Probably. Trying another bite here.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And not overly salty. That's the one thing. If you're somebody who's concerned about sodium, then the Slim Jims are out for you, because the sodium can affect heartburn and all that. That being said, if you were gentle with the amount of Slim Jims you put in, you'd be fine. Or you could do what we did and, you know, put in turkey pepperettes instead.
Yeah, I can imagine this being really good, because Macho Man, it's always associated with snapping to a Slim Jim.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Which, I gotta say, is probably one of the most successful promos that has ever been run in terms of food marketing.
Well, I mean, they tried it with The Ultimate Warrior, and it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Because nobody understands what the hell he was saying. And Macho Man, there was just something about his energy that was perfect for that kind of food.
Exactly. So, to have Nacho Man Randy Savage, it's a natural pun. It works. A lot of the WWE cookbook is built upon puns. And I'd say this is yet another successful winner here on the show. So tune in next week to hear on This Week in Geek as we try something else new. We're going to try the man who can't be seen, the doctor of thugonomics, you will. Can't believe I said that out loud. We're going to take a look at the John Cena cereal bars right here on Satan's Pantry, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Chip, you know what? You just made the list.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
We all can see you. How the hell you think we can miss? You come out here with your bright-ass purple shirt, and before that, your bright green shirt. Before that, your bright orange shirt. You run around here looking like a big fat bowl of Fruity Pebbles.
You can kiss my
It's me, Austin!
Oh, son of a bitch.
What?
It's me, Austin! It was me all along, Austin!
We are looking at Aquaman from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, and I gotta say, I've got to paraphrase Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park here. You crazy son of a bitch, you did it. You made Aquaman cool. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. You made Aquaman a legitimately fucking cool badass. And I gotta say, the DCEU has had a lot of ups and downs. From the beginning in Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and successes, arguably, like Justice League and Wonder Woman, Aquaman was very much an unknown. We didn't know what to make of this character who a lot of people joke, well, he talks to fish. But no, you cast Jason Momoa, Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones, and gave him an amazingly talented director in James Wan, the guy from the Conjuring series, gave him a great supporting cast, Amber Heard, Patrick Wilson, and of all people, Dolph Lundgren, and you crafted one of the most world-building parts of DC in giving screen time to Atlantis and really bringing that to life. Aquaman's a winner. Like, I really can't tell you anything more about this movie other than the fact it is friggin' fantastic. This tells of a post-Justice League story of Aquaman rising to power in Atlantis, basically coming to terms with his brother King Orm, who you may know as Ocean Master. And I can't believe they made Ocean Master cool. One of his longest-running bad guys, Black Manta, again, the big guy in the goofy-looking helmet, they made him cool. They made him just as badass as, say, Deathstroke. And you see him work with Queen Mira, rather, trying to figure out his Atlantean heritage and how he all fits into the seven kingdoms of Atlantis, like the Brine Kingdom, the Fisherman Kingdom, the Deserters, the Trench, etc., and how he has to get the trident of King Poseidon and how that'll help him reclaim his rightful throne. It's not as complicated as I'm making it sound. Just trust me, the movie does a much better job of presenting this really fantastic story of a kind of a reverse origin for Aquaman, because like I said, we did see him premiere in Justice League first, but it's ultimately one of the coolest things I've seen in a really, really long time in terms of a superhero movie, and the DCEU has really done a fantastic job of casting its primary heroes. Like I said, like Jason Momoa is fantastic in this. He's got the right charisma. He carries the role well. It's not the goofy-looking Super Friends Aquaman that you've come to expect. Now, to talk about the Blu-ray itself, again, fantastic special features. There's one hosted by King Zebul himself, Dolph Lundgren, gives you the history of the Aquaman universe. The guy that plays Black Manta also gives his background as well, kind of diving into the history of the character. I had no idea that the character had gone through three or four different incarnations over the years, and at one point had killed Aquaman's son in the comics. They also talk about some of the technology that they used to create Aquaman, specifically how it relates to lighting rigs, 3D effects when it comes to pre-visualization and whatnot. And they also just go into world building with James Wan and other special features. This is a complete package. And it's probably one of the better Blu-rays I've had a chance to review in quite some time. So if you really want to give the DCEU another shot, then I cannot recommend Aquaman enough. I think it's one of the best movies of last year. And I think it's one of the best superhero movies definitely in the last five. And that's the kind of show it has been here on This Week in Geek, your flagship of stupidity. We've covered many, many, many topics this week, but as always, we thank you for your patronage here on the show. Coming up on the site this week, we actually have a commentary, which you can listen to, obviously for free, and the movie you can watch without violating any copyright laws, because it is available from a service which will be linked in the episode post this week. Stay tuned. It's going to be a choppingly good experience. Also, big thanks to Inside Editions for providing the WWE cookbook, Sony Computer Home Entertainment,
PDP,
Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. I don't think I've left anybody out.
And listeners like you.
And listeners like you. If you listened this past weekend, you heard our thoughts on The Prototype about accessibility in gaming. So please go back and check that out. We'd love to hear what you guys think about it, so you can interact with all our social media. Listen to the end of the show for Tristan's wonderful, butterly smooth voice for producing that for us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course not. Coming up next week on the show, we will have, I'm trying to think what reviews we got coming out for sure. We'll have Sekiro Shadows Die Twice from Tristan.
Yes.
I will have a review of Rise of the TMNT, the first couple episodes. I got a DVD from Paramount Home Entertainment, and I think SNK, the anniversary collection. I'll be taking a look at that. Alex sent me that a little while ago.
And I got a bunch of stuff, so I don't know. I might have Return to Treasure come out.
Yep.
If not, we should have, like you said, a commentary. And are you going to be back on Nerd to the Third this week?
Yeah, Nerd to the Third Power took a week off this week because the whole crew was just sick. That Skyblaze and Dr. Gonzo just were a little under the weather. So I think we're talking Cyberpunk or Happy Birthday Dreamcast. I think it turns 20 years old this year. So we'll be talking about that later on. So anyway, guys, please keep it locked to thisweekingeek.net. We always appreciate you interacting with us, be it across Facebook, Twitter, or any other social media. So until next time, we have been
Mr. Christopher.
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying be cool, be careful, be kind, and as always, live free or die hard.
Well, that's our show. All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info and the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.